The Garnet Waiter is a show where three players probe the mysteries of the show crime scene. Or perhaps I should say, they attempt to. Can these three dorks get to the bottom of a murder without getting completely sidetracked by goofs and bits? This podcast exists as a document of their investigation. And remember, trust no one, especially not the Plug Zone. This is The Garnet Waiter. Begin.
Okay,
my recording started when you said two. It's fine. You have me saying Mark.
You said you'd started recording
already.
Yeah, but
I stopped because it sounded like we were talking for too long, and I know you get mad when we have bullshit.
Best part of the pod.
I think that, Nick. Six doesn't think that.
You fight the power.
Okay, you're right.
You have no means to fight my power. I'm the one who edits the show. Usually it's
what
like
if
for
you're
that
not?
One time when Alan edited it. Well, actually, Alan has edited two podcasts of The Garnet Waiter.
Good memory, bud. Speaking of which, welcome to The Garnet Wager, a podcast where we talk about Korean game shows. I'm Alan Ibrahim. Hello, Six.
Hi, I'm Six Detmar.
Hello, Nick.
Hello, I'm Nick Cease.
Nick, were you trying to come up with a not real last name there for a sec?
No, I was going to say Nick Detmar because I was just kind of I was closing the tab of things I was bullshitting about before we started recording. So my brain was a quarter on when you started talking.
I'm glad it was a quarter on. Did you know that this television show airs on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. in Korea?
That's so late.
Isn't it really late? They were like, hey, it's Saturday again, guys. Welcome back. And I'm like, that's so late. I'm busy.
Who does anything at 11 p.m.? Who would make people do anything at 11 p.m.?
It's yeah. I take walks at 11 p.m.
What's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but you don't,
oh, wait,
you don't
no,
watch
I used to.
TV.
I used to, actually. I can't anymore because I have to get up early.
Womp, womp. Well, this
Change
week
on.
Nick? I almost called you Snick. I've done that
Snick?
Before. Snick. Nick, we watched season 1, episode 8 of Crime Scene this week.
Crime Scene.
Crime Scene.
The guest this week is Soyo from Sistar, a K-pop idol group, who are no longer around. I think they disbanded in 2017, actually.
They did.
I don't like their music.
Yeah, it's not great.
We listened to two songs before. We listened to Touch My Body. Well, I listened to a few seconds of Touch My Body and Shake It.
Yeah.
You know, you do you.
It's just the essentials. My thing is their videos are so sexual. And maybe coming from the era of, like, Twice, where it's so chaste that, like, they can't even say a swear. I see people, like, shaking their butts, and I'm like, that's naughty, K-pop.
Naughty. Yeah, I guess I just feel like it, my constant reaction as an ace to, like, flamboyant, over-the-top, in-my-face sexuality is like, okay, what are you trying to distract from?
Right, and the fact
like, this is fine, but, like, why are you doing... You are doing this to take my attention away from something that isn't up to snuff. What is it?
And it's two-pronged. It's one, it's that the music isn't great, in our opinion, and the other is that in the Touch My Body video, we get a cameo from two Garnet Wager alumni.
Really?
We get Hyunmoo, who's in the center at the end of the video, and then on his left... is No Hong Chul himself from season 2 of The Genius. They're big in Korea. They're like huge.
Y'all, let's derail everything right now.
Why?
God, six derail.
So we're getting real close to the end of this season.
Hell yeah.
Where's the Garnet Wager going next?
Straight to hell.
Are there any Vietnamese game shows?
Ooh.
We have left The Genius hanging. Do we want to go back and do season 4?
I mean, is it the same show? Is it still like 13 episodes or whatever, like 1 hour, 2 hours?
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Nick, are you on board?
Sure.
Okay. I wonder how much Nick will get out of the All-Star season, though, if it's the like gang. Maybe that'll just be fun.
That's part of why I want Nick, is because we have two people who are going to be like, oh my god, he's back, and you'll be like, who's
and I'm the audience
boy?
Substitute and be like, introducing ABCD, they were great in season 1.
Yes, well, the audience substitute would say, oh, I recognize them from TV because they're on TV every day. Everyone on The Genius is generally pretty famous.
Well, our audience substitute would be like, why would I tune in on episode like 70 of a podcast without knowing who all these people are, you fool? But
you just
kind of
go for
welcome.
It.
Welcome.
Yeah.
So We have an interesting crime this week. A woman passes out. Actually, Nick, do you have the like fancy setup? Go ahead. Give me the setup.
Wow. I don't even have to interrupt you. I feel like it's disingenuous if I don't interrupt you.
Well, okay. So, Nick, I'll talk about it. So, basically, yeah. It's a bunch of things.
You know what, Nick? Yeah. Actually, Alan, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you here.
Okay.
Because I actually wrote my own summary.
Really?
Okay. So, a crime happens.
Okay.
And then someone's bleeding because the crime happened. You know, in a place, and then there's some people, and they might be guilty of a crime, except for one of them's like,
now,
so obviously not guilty that they're literally not suspected the entire time, and I don't really know why they're there.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
For you to interrupt me, Nick.
Yeah, I know, but what is a crime? I need a basis, you know? You got to build the floor, and I'll make your a frame, a teepee.
Well, a crime rhymes with grime and slime. It is an act that is against the law.
Oh. So that's what makes it a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moral of the story. The story that begins on the 28th of June, 2014, at approximately 4:55 p.m. in Seoul, South Korea. A woman in her 40s was found dead in a high-rise mixed-use building near Apgujeondong. The victim's name is Go Hae-jin, wife of a popular star doctor and director of the Bright Go Neuropsychiatry Clinic, located on the fourth floor of the building. The body was discovered in the living room of the Hae-jin residence, one floor above her husband's clinic, clothed in a bathrobe, with a deep gash above her left eyebrow. The furniture around the body was in disarray, stained with blood, and a box of fried chicken spilled across the floor, later traced to be from the BHC fried chicken restaurant on the street below. Estimated time of death is between 3:50 p.m. and 4:55 p.m. The scene was first discovered by the family maid, whose screams drew the attention of Mrs. Go's husband and visiting friend. The six people who had last interacted with the victim were summoned to the building by the authorities, who began the traditional process of barring the exits until the Council of Six deduced the identity of the criminal in their midst. The suspects are the victim's friend, Beauty Park, the victim's husband, Director Hong, the clinic's chief administrator, Admin So, the family maid, housemaid Yoon, the BHC chicken employee, Delivery Kong, and the victim's mother-in-law, Mother June. Crime scene case file number 5, Sister Act 3, Colonel Sanders' Revenge, begin.
I love you, Nick. That's good work.
So let's engage with the reality that Nick has presented for a moment.
Yeah.
You go over to visit your friend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're dead.
Bummer.
Of course.
And you're like, oh my God, they're dead. And then police descend and lock the doors of the house along with five other people. And they're like, okay, here's $50. If you find the criminal from among the five of you, you can keep it and leave. Otherwise, the criminal gets to take all your money and walk away.
Yeah. I feel like it really streamlines the justice system.
Really, really ensures that there's no like sketchiness or incorrect accusations. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth noting that Soyo is the guest this week. She's her nails this episode are just god tier. She's looking fantastic, doing the whole thing in heels too, which is like hard work. You didn't need to do that, but she did, and I'm proud of her. I do like some songs by Sistar, but you know, every time I'm watching her be hilarious, and honestly, she's fine. Like the guests, I think on Crime Scene toe this line between like, are they overly invested and that's the joke, or do they not know what's going on and that's the joke? And she kind of leans towards the latter. Like she's playing the game, she understands what's happening, she's guessing things correctly, but her whole running gag is that every time the TV comes on, she's so startled by it that she almost dies. Mm-hmm. It's very funny. I think it's very funny.
What if they have her back?
Yeah.
And they're going through and it's like no one, like they start the crime scene, but no one's dead. And they start doing, like they start talking and they're like, okay, well, I don't see a problem. And then the monitor goes off and then she like jumps. And she dies of a heart attack, and they have to figure out who killed her.
Just figure out who killed her, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would watch that. I like that they're getting more comfortable exploring the crime scene now. Like, as soon as the lights go out and they're like, "You got one of you is the killer," they're like, all right, can we pick the body up? Can we touch the body and, like, throw it? Because we're not going to get fucked over like last time.
Hyun-ru just throws the body.
He's like, I'll take that. Thank you. Nothing behind it? All right, great. She's got some fried chicken strewn about, which looks delicious. Great prop work from the team.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's actually fried chicken. They're just it like, you know what? Let's just, you know, save money.
I mean,
money.
I think it, like, so they have gum on the set. It's actual gum. They have phones, and they prove this episode that the phones have a cell service and can call other phones on the set. That's probably real chicken.
Yeah, it's very, they just, and it's not even a lot of it. Like, it's not like it was expensive that they had to buy like a 20 piece or something.
Yeah, an expensive 20 piece of chicken for a television show.
You can't pay a lot of money for chicken, I think.
It's true.
Unless you really got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Alan.
Yes.
Let me tell you about Big JJ's Fish and Chicken.
Okay.
Oh, God.
They did some incredible, they did some premium fried chicken.
Yeah.
And it you would think it would have a premium price tag attached, right?
Uh-huh. You would.
But in fact, it's an incredible deal. Call 1-800-667. No.
No. I would not. It was so good sad. I was picking up my phone.
Well, they're in Champaign, Illinois, so you're not going to be able to.
I mean,
it looks like the Garner Wager is taking a field trip. We're just here from Champaign, Illinois.
Just get like some wind whip hero.
It'll sound so good on the Illinois, edit. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the Windy City. It's the Windy State. I'd like to
note, land of Windy Lincoln.
I would love to note that when everybody's receiving their character assignments, they are definitely all instructed by the producer to act as if they are the killer and they're trying to hide it. I'm positive of this because I looked last week, because last week we know that Ji-Yoon was the killer, and I went back and watched her reaction, and all she does is she goes, oh, interesting. Like, they all are told to act nonplussed. Mm-hmm. You cannot guess it from that.
Well, the other thing is that they're like, they're told to act because even in private, they know that this is all going to be voted on, and it's like part of the game is trying to make it like, you don't want to have the moment where they're like, hi, I'm the killer. You know, that's not, they want people to play along and guess along with a contestant.
But then why even have that scene?
Because people can only act so well, and so possibly you could get a read on someone.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I'm looking right now, and the person who is the killer is just reacting by holding the envelope away from them and being like, ah, interesting. Like, it's nothing. I almost said who the killer was, but then I didn't because I'm a good co-host.
Nice.
Yeah, I try.
It's probably just to, like, you know, it sets the scene, sets the mood, and then, you know, you can be like, oh, I knew it from the way they reacted, even if you actually didn't, but, you know.
And then,
so here's...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Six, go ahead.
Here's where I thought you were going with this. They're handing out the roles.
Yep, that's where I was going next.
And there are 3 men and 3 women.
Yeah.
And there are 4 female roles and 2 male roles.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. How's this going to work out?
It's going to be super funny, let me tell you. It's going to be a laugh a minute.
You know what holds up super well in 2019, coming from it, like, as a modern audience watching this, is men dressing up as women. That's very
and like, funny. Okay, so let's have this conversation real quick.
Hell
right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think any of us are going to, like, see an anime where you see a lady wearing a tuxedo and get offended. We're not going to get upset at that. That looks sick, right?
Correct. That's a mood, etc.
The difference is that's not played as a laugh.
Yeah.
The idea of them dressing up is not the joke. If it were like Hyunmoo dresses up as the mother-in-law, and people are just like, oh, that dress looks really nice on you, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But that's not the bit. The bit is like, wow, look at how much his masculinity is being undermined.
You've got too much testosterone for a woman, which is like, yikes, fam. Oh, my God. It's a little yucky. The thing is, Nick was pointing this out before we recorded, like, it's not the only joke of the episode. It's not like constantly focused on, like, eventually Hyunmoo, who chooses to play the mom, the grandmother, I mean, is just a person in a dress and a wig and some makeup, and they stop, like, fixating on it. But every time they fixated on it, it is not funny. It is kind, it's pretty bad. And, like, this had to happen. We've been hinting at knowing that this happens for a while, because, like, the only way to make this not happen is to have every single episode have the right balance of men and women to work.
Or, I mean, listen, actually, there's a super easy way to do this. Admin So, or I guess just Admin, because it's changed
doesn't
to
have
So
to be grandmother.
Acting. Well, it doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be female.
Yeah.
Like you can have roles where, I mean, like, okay, the delivery person could have been male or female. There are plenty of these roles where you could be like, and the gender doesn't matter, and we'll adjust it to whoever it is.
Yeah. But alas, they do that, and it's not great. I don't like. I'm not like. It doesn't ruin the episode, but it's definitely like, oh, that's the thing you guys did this episode. You chose that.
And I dreaded it a lot more than it actually, like, it's not as bad.
Yeah.
Like, we saw, you know, we saw thumbnails of it before we started watching this show. So we had time to build up anticipation of how yikes this would be. And it's not, you know, it's not that bad, but it's not good.
No, exactly. It's funny, though, that Jinno sees it. I think it's Jinno, is like, oh, I shouldn't do that. He, like, picks up the woman role and it's like, that's not a good idea for me. I'm going to put this down. Then Hyunmoo's like, no, fam, I got this. I got this.
Well,
no,
Hyunmoo,
does,
for Hyunmoo, it's the only one left.
True. Well, exactly. But I think, yeah, Youngsook picks it up and is like, maybe no, maybe not on that. He had the choice and chose not to, whereas Hyunmoo didn't have the choice. Alas.
Right.
And
I want to commend, because I feel like, as much as I'm unhappy with some of the jokes about it, pretty much none of them are sparked by Hyunmoo himself. Hyunmoo just tries to take the role and roll with it.
Yeah. Pun intended.
And I really respect, I mean, he just goes for it. And I think it's great. Like, he changes his manner of speech. He changes, like, his attitude towards other characters. He just tries to do the role.
He uses, they use the right pronouns with him. They use, they also use the right honorifics as, like, a senior.
Mm-hmm.
They do their best with it. So they also start comparing him to Jessica Fletcher because he's an older woman searching for crimes. And I really like that people have seen Murder, She Wrote in South Korea. That makes me happy.
Like, to, like, the older people. They were like,
right, right.
Guys, it was like, you know, it was Park, Kang, and Hyunmoo is like, oh, I look like Jessica, what's her name? And they're like, you know, do this deadpan take, like, oh. They have no idea what we're talking about. These kids.
Yeah, because everyone else just, like, instantly just starts cracking up. And then, like, the younger kids are just like,
I don't know. Well, Soyo's 20, probably 24, 23 when this comes out, so she is, that's excusable. Jinho is playing StarCraft all day, doesn't watch Murder, She Wrote, that's fine. The thing is, we goof because he's us. we can't make fun of him like we're teasing him, he's just great.
And listen, I don't play StarCraft all day.
I just play it for 11
StarCraft
hours.
All night.
I'm holding Girls Frontline in my hand right
God
now, but that's irrelevant.
It.
It's playing itself. I'm just making sure it's okay.
I just have to check one more gun girl.
Yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. That's classic Six. Always playing games when we podcast.
Yeah. No, that's classic me. That's classic
playing
me.
Games with the hosts.
It's true. There is some real crying from NSUNG in this episode again. When, it's not like crying, but she gets like very emotional when they're talking about like the people being in love with each other and cheating on each other.
Really?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember.
Okay. I remember.
She
her
does. She does. She gets a little. She gets a little caught
Everybody
up.
Everybody was in the, like, this episode felt much better for me. And like, you know, we still have their names, like Housemaid Yoon, Director Hong, but like their characters felt a lot better, and it felt like they returned to their like goofs based on the characters again.
Right.
And like, and, you know, Yoon-ji was like, oh, you know, can I tell them about it, honey? Because, you know, surprise, surprise, the doctor, Jinno, is cheating on his wife, who's the victim, with their maid, Yoon-ji. And it's like, oh, you know, we're so in love, blah, blah, blah. And so she leans into it. And then, you know, they have good character chemistry again, which I felt like they didn't have back in, you know, Goodfellas last episode.
Yeah, Goodfellas. Was it last week where we were like, the setting is too absurd for this show?
You thought that. Yes, that's accurate.
I'm sorry to say that. I like that this one feels... It feels almost like too real, though, because it's like they're talking about all the different medications that she took, and they're all real. And like, and I felt weird being like, yeah, I know how those medications would interact and kill somebody. Because she's taking sleeping pills, she's taking Ambien, she's taking Oxy, she's taking Promethazine and Valium. And it's like, yep, that'll do it. Like, they're not going to like beat around the bush with what these are. We're not going to be like, and then like flunazepam. It's like,
yeah,
no, that's oxycodone.
Yeah, I had a moment where they were like, "Oh, and she's on blood pressure medications," and I was like, "Look, motherfucker, I've been on just about every blood pressure medication."
Now let
there
me
is.
Tell you,
it's not going to cause a heart attack. And they're like, "But she was actually on." And I was like, "Oh," and I sat down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they put the effort into making it a real case, into echoing the real case.
Now, okay, let me get y'all's thought on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thoughts. Kang Yong-suk,
yeah,
our lawyer,
mm-hmm,
was the chicken delivery man in this episode.
He was.
They basically could have not given him a role.
Yep. Yep.
To the point where I was like, is this going to be stupid? Is he just going to be the killer?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be like that where I just wasn't paying attention and it's like, oh, actually, he totally was. Nope.
Literally zero clues have anything to do with him. He is never once suspicious. He's never once interesting. He's just like, oh, we forgot there needs to be a sixth person. The Uber driver who brought the fucking chicken. Starbucks. Like, it's just...
The seventh Urban Spices cyanide. It's me, Colonel Sanders' son, Derek. Derek Sanders. Fuck you guys. Nobody understands me.
I never made it to Colonel.
I got kicked out of military school for bad behavior.
I'm a cadet.
Cadet Sanders at your service. What'll you order?
This guy sucks. Get this guy off the show. What if we wrote
He'd
a 13-year-old?
Better than Kong.
Kong Young-suk's role is basically like, yeah. Well, because, yeah, he gets the first interrogation, and they're like, all right, where were you? And he's like, I delivered the chicken. And then I left, and then I wasn't there anymore. And you can track my car if you need to, because I'm a delivery
and no
driver.
No one
in that...
saw me except for the victim, because I was there for about 5 seconds.
There was really? A solid 45 seconds. So they're like, oh, she came to the door in the bathrobe, and then you saw her. Did you turn around and assault her? It's like, no.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Sorry about that, bud.
So I'm torn. Because on the one hand, it feels like a real waste of a character slot, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you gave it to a person I hate, and giving him not very much to do is okay with me?
A-okay with me, right.
The thing is, he was, like, definitely the least valuable character this episode, but he was actually, like, the most valuable player.
Yes.
As we'll get to. So, he was still in the episode, but...
Yeah, they talk about how...
Like, he was the detective, basically.
They talk about how in the last episode, they're like, he established himself as the new deduction idiot, and now he's smart again.
And they do a great... Yeah, we'll get to the throwback later.
It's amazing what happens when you stop talking so much shit and just put your head down and work. Huh, buddy?
Weird. Huh, weird.
Strange.
Really makes you think, says two people who talk a lot of shit. So, is the phone call in part one, or should we save that for part two's intro?
I mean, it's kind of the way our episodes are cut. Both of the hints are in part two. Our cut is a little weird this week. So I don't know, like, I guess I feel like this case was the most straightforward case we've ever had.
Yes. Very straightforward.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, should we, let's like mention everybody's motive and then
okay. It'll
be very obvious. So, like, mm-hmm. Okay, here, let's go to it. So, the victim's friend, Beauty Park, which, first off, a hilarious character for Park to play. Perfect. It's always great. Park's great. There's, like, a paper we find, right, that she's jealous of the victim. Because the victim
got a persecution complex.
Yeah, her ex-husband. And then, like, oh, maybe she killed him to try to seduce her husband and then take over her fortune. Like, okay, maybe that's that. I guess, sure. There wasn't really a way she could have done it, but okay. Director Hung is like, okay, his wife, we discover that there's like financial documents, everything is in his wife's name. Okay. But then we find stuff that like, oh, they're this happy couple. But then we also see that he's cheating on her with Yoon-ji. So there's that. There's the admin. So, on that day, the wife told her she was fired, but like, there's immediately evidence that she had to have had, like, thought about it for a week. Like, this was premeditated by at least a week. So,
mm-hmm.
And then there's the maid, Yoon-ji, and it's like, oh, maybe, you know, she's going to kill the wife to take over her role and start a family with her husband. And then, oh yeah, and Kong, we have no fucking clue.
You forgot.
Reason.
And for Kong, it's like, maybe she didn't tip very well. No one says that.
That's the motive. I found it.
Yeah, and then the mother-in-law.
I was kind of hoping, because that would have been a great, like, end-of-episode message of just, like, this is a story of a time someone didn't tip a delivery driver well, and he fucking killed them. Tip your delivery driver.
Is it worth those $3?
Tip your delivery drivers, please, folks.
And then there's the mother-in-law who was arguing with the wife.
No, honestly, like, the only motive that makes sense is, like, yo, the husband is, like, angry about the woman and is trying to kill. He's the only person with a motive.
Yeah. Like, in a vacuum, I feel like some of the other motives were, you know, if it was the first episode, it's like, oh, yeah, it could have been, you know, four people, right? But then there's easy evidence we find that starts to really make everything shaky. Yeah. So, like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah. No, there wasn't a lot of uncertainty introduced in the process this time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, at the end of the first episode, I had correctly guessed who it was.
I suspected it. I just said, this is too easy. It can't possibly be this person.
That's what I was thinking. I was waiting for some... Like, I think every other case, right before they go to the final vote, there's that, like, one piece that the producers are waiting... The one piece, yes. Yeah. That the producers are waiting for somebody to find, right? We didn't really have that, or, like... They found it too quick.
Well, we did,
but
we just... Yeah, they found it too quick. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Much too quick.
We'll talk about some of the, like, the reasons I suspected beyond just, like, oh, the signs point to this, but we'll talk about it more once we've got a little more into it, which, of course, will be after our fan fiction murder mystery corner. So, I've been bad about it. I want to reiterate all the rules at the top, to be sure. First off, if you think it's an OC, you can say that it's an OC. You don't have to specify the name of the OC. I will try and give you, like, benefit of the doubt. So, if it's like, oh, like, you know, like, Peach killed him, and it's like, well, Peach set in motion in events that killed him, I'll still give you credit for that.
What's an OC?
Original character. Person who has literally never read a single bit of fan fiction.
So, like, if they made it up, that's what you mean?
Right.
Oh, okay.
If it's like, Nick!
If it's like Gerald the Hedgehog. You can have an OC of the universe, right? It's like, Sonic is an OC of the Sonic universe.
No.
He's
taking the word. You're taking the
universe.
Taking the word literally.
Okay, so Nick, here it would be an example of a Sonic OC is if in this like
Sonic.
Okay, you're reading a Sonic the Hedgehog fanfic. Yeah, and then it's Derek the Hedgehog who killed him, because it's a character that the author of the fanfic created. That's an OC.
Okay.
You can say if you think the answer if it's unsolvable because the answer is unfinished, or and also you have the right to Google things, but obviously you can't Google the fic itself.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
I'm extremely ready. I got this week, fam.
Okay, so I am going to give you some opportunities here for extra garnets, because right now our garnet setup is that Alan has 2 and Nick has 17.
Yes.
And so, first off, I'm going to give Alan a steal opportunity.
Okay.
What?
Crime.
It's like a blue shell, but for our thing here. So when we get to a point, if you can relinquish, like, so you get to the point and you think you know the answer, right? Mm-hmm. You can DM the answer to me as your turn instead of saying it out loud. And if you're right, you can then have Nick take their turn. Right?
Yeah.
So you spent your turn saying, this is my answer.
Right.
And then if Nick doesn't get it, you will get double turn when you guess it. So you can say, like, I have the answer, but I'm going to delay.
Okay.
Wow.
I like this rule.
I will not at that time confirm that you're right, though, by the way. So if you're like, if you DM to me, like, it's Big the Cat, if it's not Big the Cat, I'm not going to say that.
Sure, but he buried the body underwater. You're gambling. I got that.
You're gambling. Yeah. All right, so here we go.
What's the fic called? Give me that title.
Our fic this week is a Final Fantasy VII fanfic called Murder Most Foul by I'm Not Your Enemy.
Can I ask a technical question?
Yes.
Is it a pun? Is it F-O-W-L like bird? Or is it F-O-U-L?
It is not a pun. Here's our quick synopsis.
Okay.
Being a soldier means dealing with things the police can't, including murders. Promises can't be broken, so when Cloud Strife is murdered, does Zack really want to find out who did it? What if he's closer to the killer than he first thought? AU.
Oh.
Okay. Let me get my coin, which I neglected, so I'll have to edit this down.
Never neglect your coin.
Okay, Alan, you are behind in Garnet's, and so heads or tails?
Tails. Miles, tails, Prower.
It's not a Sonic.
It is tails. Oh. Wow, everyone has won the coin flip so far.
Good.
House always wins.
Okay. Do you want first question or second question?
I'm going to ask first question.
Okay.
Was the killer a villain in Final Fantasy VII?
No.
Was the killer what fucking questions can I ask here?
Is that your question?
Yeah. There was.
Does the killer show up in the main Final Fantasy VII video game?
Yes. Kind of.
Is the killer a real person? This is important because Final Fantasy VII has a lot of not real people in it.
What
do you mean? What are you talking
about?
It's
not Zack? That's what I'm saying.
It's not like George W. Bush. Like, what are you asking me right now?
Because aren't there people... I haven't played Final Fantasy VII, to be fair. Aren't there people in that game who are like, you're not real?
No, that's not a thing.
Okay.
Is Zack not real?
Zack's real.
Okay, I've only heard about him and I never watched the movie.
Oh, is the killer romanceable in Final Fantasy VII?
No.
Okay. You can romance people in Final Fantasy VII?
Oh, yeah.
What? I played the game once.
Yeah, it's a side thing.
The Golden Saucer thing.
I don't know. Okay. Close. Is the killer Red 13?
No.
At that point, shouldn't Nick
lose?
You can
romance Red 13. No, I'm kidding. No. That's not how this works. Okay. You can offer.
And just throw out guesses until one of us is right.
Yeah.
Is the killer
totally.
Is the killer Tifa?
No, Tifa's romanceable anyway.
Oh, right. You're absolutely right.
Is the killer Barrett?
Barrett is romanceable. No.
I was going to say, right? Yeah, he totally is. Yeah.
I don't remember fucking any of this shit.
Homophobic. Jesus.
I didn't know if he was a playable character.
Oh, he super is.
You guys
I think
are
I played
great.
This game when I was like 13. That's my guess.
Can I? No, I'm not going to give any hints. That's not fair. That's not fair. I can't do it.
Whose question is it?
Yours.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can't just go down the line. It would be stupid. Is it Catchy?
No.
Okay. Kate Sith for the Americans out there. Caitlin Sith.
Keto.
Don't forget your special comeback mechanic, Adam.
I know. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Let me. I'll narrow. Is is the killer Angeal Hooley?
What?
Hooley.
Who? What?
Huh. Interesting poll. No.
Okay. The original owner of the Buster Sword.
Oh, they're in Crisis Core. Mm-hmm. I know so much around Final Fantasy VII, but I know nothing about it. Is the killer Cid?
No. It feels like you guys aren't thinking fanfic enough to me.
Is right. The character an OC?
No.
Oh. Maybe that guy.
You just looking at a character list right now, bud?
No, I'm just looking at general wiki. I'm trying to pour through knowledge. I cannot remember this game. And I've never seen the movies. Multiple? Are there multiple?
It's your turn, Alan.
All right. Can I? So if I do DM you my guess, does that count as my turn?
Yes. DM has been sent.
Okay.
Nick.
Is the fic unfinished?
The fic is unfinished.
God fucking damn it. Mother of God. Six
it is. Alan guessed there are too, like right? Zero clues. Alan's clue was Genesis, who is in the fic.
Oh.
And
you're kidding, they're in the fic?
Oh yeah, so what? Is Angeal, actually. But
what the
there are zero clues in this one chapter that they wrote. Oh. There are zero clues.
This is important. People need to understand that a lot whenever you get into fanfic like culture, you're gonna run into stuff that's just not done. You're gonna be disappointed by it. That's fine.
I needed one of these stories to be. Yeah, no, that's why I established that rule of like you could say it's incomplete. God. This is fanfic for you.
Why do I know so much about Crisis Core? God. So who gets points?
Nick does, because Nick guessed correctly that it was no one.
How many points does he get, though?
22.
Five is standard, okay. So 22. That's,
okay.
Don't worry, I'll get you guys some
more
exciting
ones. Wait, no, that means I go
bust,
right?
Yep, you have zero now. Yep.
All right, well, that was our murder,
oh, possibly
mystery,
our worst
fan fiction,
murder
mystery, murder, fan, murder, mystery.
And now, and that's all she wrote. I don't remember the catchphrase. Hold on. Murder.
And that's all she murdered.
And, and now it's time for me to kill you.
Batman.
Kevin.
Imagine if Batman was on Murder, She Wrote.
They'd be best friends. So, Youngsuk has been so quiet and uninvolved in this episode that I was like, this guy's suspicious. And then we get our first hint, which is the best scene for me in this whole episode. We get a phone call from the daughter of the murder victim. And she's in America. And
well,
so
at first we think it's like a pre-recorded thing.
Yeah, I'm getting there, Nicholas.
I'm sorry, I thought you were just jumping.
She's like, hey, guys. And they're like, is this hello? And she's like, yeah, hi. And they're like, is this live? It's like my parents trying to do a long distance phone call. We're like, is this real? Does this work? They're like, hi, hello. And then they're like, do you speak Korean? And she's like, annyeonghaseyo. And they're like, oh, thank God. Shit. This would have been
impossible. We're just going to have Yoon-ji do the whole thing.
Yeah, that would have been so funny if she just only spoke English. No, but what's actually great is they got an actress who speaks both and is bouncing back and forth exactly how a Korean-American would speak Korean. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite
was... She sounded
was...
like a super young Yoon-ji.
Yeah, she did.
It's possible, yeah. But yeah, because... they ask her, like, oh, did your, like, what were the symptoms that your mom was having? And she's like, oh, da 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 da, pretty depressed. And da 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 da. Like, she just has certain words that she doesn't translate, which is really funny.
Or she'll just start sentences with, I mean, like, and then switch into Korean.
Exactly.
And it's just, it's very cute. Oh,
yeah. It's really fun. And they're all listening intently and, like, treating it with the utmost respect. Like, this is the most important thing. What do they get out of this phone call?
So they get that she was depressed, that she was having nightmares and feeling lethargic recently, Director Hong, her husband, recommended her for plastic surgery, which she indeed took her up on, and that's why she was taking medication. and we got that she and her mother-in-law were on quite bad terms, known even to the daughter in America.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
It was weird.
It is weird. I mean, the live phone call thing doesn't necessarily work because the other person can only answer so much, like, directly before they have to be like, you're going down a path. I can't give you this. Like, even though it is, like, the daughter, so she's not going to, like, know who did it.
Well, I mean, she stayed in character. She was like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. She didn't really say much about this. She just said this or this, this, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Did a good job.
I just had a, like, suddenly very vivid flashback to playing, like, text adventures and just, like, you know, asking, like, trying to ask a question that the creator hasn't programmed for and just, like, so-and-so doesn't know anything about that subject.
Exactly. But I know you played MUDs back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, I don't recognize this guy. And you're like, why not? Why don't you recommend, understand what is fart? Like, I've been there. I played Neopets. They do find some interesting stuff. There's a second investigation, right? Is there another clue before the second investigation?
There is. So the second clue is basically just that she died via heart attack. Like, by the blood on her forehead and the blood around, people were like, oh, she must have died by getting hit on the head. And they're like, no, she hit her head on the way of falling down from a heart attack.
Which is just, like, a big fuck you to, like, hey, we just, you know, let you go 45 minutes by assuming that, you know, maybe when this thing happened. Nope. We'll just solve this part of it for you right here.
I mean, they very often give cause of death in, like, the second. Like, that's fairly typical. Yeah, basically, a coroner's, like, report being the second hint.
There was no clues that it was a heart attack at all. Before.
No, because how would you give that? I mean, how would you give that hint?
You say, oh, there is a, like, on the electrocution episodes, like, oh, they had a weak heart, but also there was, like, all these other possible things. And then,
but she didn't have a weak heart.
She did.
No, she didn't. She was taking a bunch of medication to fuck
her.
She did not have a chronically weak heart.
Yeah, I was talking about
the other. Yeah, no, this episode.
Right,
I mean.
Right.
No, it just felt like a out of nowhere, like, oh, you know, remove the doubt of the cause of death when, like, that seemed like a very important part of this particular. Like, there wasn't a lot around. Like, there was a bunch of rooms, kind of, on the crime scene, but, like, the actual cause of death seemed more important this time.
Hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I can see where you're coming from on that.
Also, because this hint basically, like, after this, Kong just immediately goes to the family residence part of the crime scene, and then there's a little bit of, like, the clinic, and there's, like, a medicine room, right? So he immediately just goes, and there's maybe, like, 10 medicine bottles, and he just starts rooting around in there, because he's like, oh, well, it's a heart attack. I gotta go find out, you know, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it certainly does seem to limit the possibility field in such a way that he's able to get a beat on things pretty quickly.
Like, if they didn't have the blood, right, then it wasn't just like, you know, there was a gash on her head, right? It's like there was a gash on her head and there was blood on the phone and on the furniture. And it's like, oh, maybe she was attacked or she was struggling and she was trying to call for help or, you know, something, something. It's just like, oh, no, she had a heart attack and then she tried to reach the phone, but she couldn't, you know, she had fallen and couldn't get up. And that was it. It was like, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear where you're coming from. It is a little, it can be a little disappointing.
It was the start of my disappointment with the ending of the episode, I think.
Mm. My last bit of, like, enjoyment, like, actual genuine enjoyment from this part was in that second interrogation. I'm sorry to jump around, but it's my next thing here. Is so that there's gum on the crime scene. And Soyeon, she finds it and she, like, goes like, oh, sick, gum, can I get some? And just, like, chomps on some gum. And they're like, yeah, it's not a, don't eat the prop. What are you doing?
There's a little note that's like, don't eat the prop.
Don't eat the prop. And then is it Ji-Yoon who finds it? Or is it Yoon-ji who finds it?
I don't remember.
One of the, they yeah, no, no, it's it. Yoon-ji. Yoon-ji finds it.
Yeah, it's Yoon-ji.
She just looks like 2 inches into the thing and she goes, oh, the whole bottom is sleeping pills. It's all sleeping pills in the bottom. He hid the sleeping pills in the gum.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to continue believing that these aren't props, then Soyeon almost took Ambien and just popped a bunch of Ambien. That would have been very funny and very not good.
I'm sure the pills are not dangerous. I'm sure they're, like, they're just placebos.
Yeah,
but you gotta believe.
Yeah, they're very colorful.
The crime scene. Mm-hmm.
They are very colorful. Yeah, that's the other thing is like I take a lot of pills. I'm like, you got this collection of like neon green and red pills.
They're not.
These are fake.
Most of them are white brand squares.
Brand name designer pills.
Yeah.
I have like three pills that the only reason I can tell apart is if I really squint at them. Like one of them is scored and two of them have different numbers carved into them.
Right.
So. So, okay, at this point, we've hinted at it pretty strongly. Shall we talk about the killer?
Please.
Was there any fun investigation moments?
I think there was the... In the interrogation?
There was at least more magic this week. Like, it came back.
There's stuff to talk about, but I feel like most of it I want to talk about after having revealed the killer, because I want to talk about it in that context.
Yeah.
Because the killer this week is Jin-ho.
Oh my god.
And I feel like this episode, Shunmu and I were wavelengths. Because Shunmu is arguing a lot with Jin-ho. And like all the signs point to him, all the clues. And Shunmu keeps saying like, okay, so you're saying it was like, you know, it was instead the beauty pageant. It was Beauty Park. Mm-hmm. How'd she do it? And he's like, I don't know, but that's not important. And finally, Hyunmoo says, you know why you're guilty? You're not as smart this week. And it's like, he really wasn't. Like, yeah. You could tell he was just not, like, he was not giving it 100%. And I feel like it gave him away.
I feel like there wasn't, like, that definitely was the reason, you know, and I picked up on that too when Hyunmoo's like, okay, just like give us a reason or like a way that Park could have done it, and he's like, I don't know, but you know that's not important. It's like,
but
oh,
I didn't do it.
Well, it's like literally just think of any reason. But also the show, like this setup was really weak.
Yeah,
like I think Alan, you said before, it's like, oh well, we I think all of us thought it was Director Hong, it was the Doctor, but then it's like, yeah. Oh, but that's way
that's
too
so
easy.
Simple.
It's gotta, you know. Pull something on us, guys.
Mm-hmm. And even to the point where, again, this even though it's a logic I use myself, it made me suspicious when Jin-ho used it, where he did the metagaming thing, where he's like, well, this listen, think back on all our cases. This solution's too obvious. The game wouldn't be that easy. And it's like, that works for me as an audience member, but when you're bringing that up in the thick of it, that feels pretty disingenuous.
Six, you know what it reminds me of, actually, if you'll allow me to pull it to reference our own show a little bit? It's a similar sure. frustration to when in The Genius, people will decide who they want to get eliminated and, like, play to lose. And it's like, instead of playing to win, like you're actually trying to do throughout the game, you're deciding like, oh, I will be a fall woman this game and I'll decide to lose this episode so that I can be given immunity and then not get eliminated or whatever. Like, it's just like, play the game. It's more fun when everybody's trying. And, I don't know, Jin-ho maybe had an off week, and he's not committing 100%, and that's fine. But, like, then write the case to be more interesting, so then the characters don't have to do all the work.
Yeah, this one was really pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, you could say they cracked the case wide open with the medicine clue, and I definitely think that's true. But if you compare that to, like, previous, like, gotcha clues, right?
Yeah.
Let's compare it to the anatomy book in the girl's on the girl's bookshelf. Let's compare it to the button in the bucket of paint water, and then compare it to huge ass bottles with huge ass labels that say this could cause a heart attack on them. And it's like, there's clearly a line here, a distinction as far as how difficult it is to make this deduction.
They just like put it on easy mode this week. There was like 20, 10 to 20 bottles of like pills, right, in the medicine room. But then on a special platter, there were these four pills that end up being, you know, Kung takes them out and he's like, oh, these are the four pills that were like the wife was taking, you know, he had the prescription for in her home. And they were just on this platter, and they said, oh, you know, may cause heart weakness. Oh, may cause this one symptom the daughter talked about. And it's like, oh, okay. And then it's like, oh, well, maybe the admin could have snuck in and put the pills together. Or maybe the maid could have. And it's like, okay, it's really far-fetched that these random people would have done that. But then the doctor doing it is way too obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big disappointment at the end.
The right before they are all called to go make their final vote, they're having this argument about, like, you couldn't have given her the medicine. He's like, I couldn't give her the medicine because I can't get a prescription like that. And they're like, you're a doctor. You can literally write one. And he's like, no, but, like, that's illegal. And they're like, no. People fake prescriptions all the time. It's actually not the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah. Also, you know what else is illegal? Murder.
Also, killing someone. So if you killed someone, you would definitely go around the law to get her a fake prescription. This is easy.
I killed them, but listen, it was all by the book.
Also, whenever anybody brought up the legal documents that show that, like, the hospital, everything was in his wife's name, Jin Ho's just like, oh, really? Huh. Just like, and then they cut, and I'm like, is that the end? That's the end of the show? Like, nobody questions him anymore, or he doesn't try to, like, refute it or be like, oh yeah, I knew that, but it's just like, oh really? And Jin Ho obviously pretending not to know that.
But yeah, they all, just to move forward, they all vote, and a lot of them vote for him. He goes to jail. Good job,
it's
you guys.
4-2 him to Yoon-ji.
Yeah, which is a pretty stiff ratio. And they did it. They got it right.
They did. They did.
It's the second time this season, I think.
Yeah. So I'm glad they got it right. Because this was, you know, they set it down to, like, Super Mario Odyssey assist mode. But, and, you know, Cappy took care of the jumps for them. And that's nice. Yeah, that's very special. They hit the super guide. And Clippy took over. And made themselves a very nice resume. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, it was not like, I guess I was kind of like, I was really hoping there would be some, like, I it would be kind of frustrating, but it would be kind of fun if it was like, the killer is the delivery guy. Yeah. And they start spinning a story that is just full of clues that we didn't see, which is like, obviously in the trash can there was a gun which he hid inside the chicken, and you're just like, what?
Like a fun episode. In terms of the characters doing character things, but I never had any, like in the previous cases, there's been moments where it's like, oh, shocking reveal. It's like, oh, this cool mystery story thing versus just, like, a game show, right? Like, right. And I can appreciate the game show element. I haven't watched, you know, much of The Genius or any other Korean game show, but I can appreciate it. I get the concept, but it was way more fun when it's like, oh, look at this intricate tale we've woven, but, you know. They've got to balance it somehow, right? Because it is literally a game show. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I appreciate, you know, like, difficulty balancing that shit is hard.
Yep.
Right. We get a montage at the end of Young-suk being a deduction idiot and evolving his game into being a deduction genius. And it's like, he's just becoming early season Jin-ho in that he has no poker face. He has no face. Like, him being like, ah, interesting, I did figure it out, is nothing. There's no excitement because there's nothing on his fucking face.
I love it, though. Is it, like, before? No, like, it is after. Like, they've revealed the criminal and, you know, hey, you know, we caught Jin Ho. Ooh, everybody's getting their money. And then it's just, like, a zoom in on Kung's face. It's like, oh. And then it does the montage.
I got it.
And then that ends. So it's like, you know, that was a really funny segment. I'm glad they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze every last bit of juice out of it.
Congratulations, Kong. You've redeemed yourself. Now leave my show, please. Leave my show.
We get the... Again, we should just start coming up with our own morals this time since the show doesn't do morals anymore.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
So this is based on a real crime that happened in the United States in like the 70s or something. Or no, like 2007. Mm-hmm. That's the 70s, basically. And a guy got plastic surgery for his wife and then replaced her drugs with painkillers and narcotics. And then she died so that he could, because he hated her.
And the moral is that if in any relationship, communication is like a cornerstone. And if you stop communicating, any kind of relationship's going to fall apart. It may not be murder, but it's going to be tragedy either way. So talk to your partner, talk about your problems, and work things out.
Why did he kill her?
Because he hated her.
Why did he hate her?
He hated her because she was, like, bossy and manipulative and was fighting with his mom, and he wanted to hang out with he wanted to be with the maid who was, like, nice and, like, positive.
And young.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know,
Alan, when you asked the question, I had to think about it.
Yeah.
I completely forgot. I was like, wait, why did he do it?
The motive, the whole thing that they were supposed to solve.
It's all Yoon-ji's fault.
Don't kill your wife. Moral of the story, don't kill your wife. Yeah,
and that's why.
Moral of the story, it's all Yoon-ji's fault. Thanks, Nick.
Yep. Yoon-ji's, like, she's got devil eyes. She's going to, like, pull off her mask. She's going to have horns.
Nick, combining this with your attempt at doing a female voice, I think we need to get you some counseling. Women are all right.
Oh no, Gremlin Nick has arrived, everybody.
Hello, I can't tell the difference.
It's Yoji.
I hate, no, that's definitely Gremlin Nick. Yep, the one who plays the soundboard. I hold up a picture. I hold up a picture of Nick and Gremlin Nick, and I look at them both on each hand, and I realize I'm looking at the same picture.
Thing is, Gremlin Nick ages instead of me, so I've been.
It's like a Portrait of Dorian Gray, except for the portrait is a little shitlord.
Yeah, so Portrait of Dorian Gray. Accurate. So yeah.
No, that's just my LinkedIn.
Oh my god, your LinkedIn is so cute. We can't talk about that. That's personal. All right. Don't plug your LinkedIn, but do, Nick, please plug your stuff.
Let's see.
I'm sorry, am I rushing six? Are
my
we good?
My phone is at...
You're good.
No, do we have it? Yeah, okay. My phone's at 57%, so I'll probably do that before I go to bed.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
I really want Nick to plug something. I know that he does things. He's wonderful. What is this conscientious objection thing that you keep doing? What is this?
You know, sometimes you just gotta let plugs be, you know?
No.
Free energy, man.
I listen to all of the Scanline podcasts.
Wireless power.
I listen to all the Scanline podcasts, and every time Nick is on something,
how?
He's like...
How is that even possible?
How is what possible?
Listening to all the Scanline, the quality Scanline media content.
I mean,
there's so much these days.
There's just so much, and you can find it all at scanlinemedia.com and patreon.com/scanlinemedia.
/scanlinemedia.
Mm-hmm. And at Six Detmar if you have more questions about what shows V is on.
And at Alan Ibrahim if you have... Korean
a desire
videos.
To contact an account that doesn't exist.
Oh,
well, I tried.
Yeah, that's fine. Wait, six.
Are
mean,
you
Nick,
sure?
Nick,
let's
Nick,
try.
What? You can't. You. This sucks.
Oh, there is one.
Fuck.
Co-host. Oh wait, no. It is.
Stop,
it is your
stop,
actual.
Stop,
oh,
stop.
Damn it.
You're giving six editing to do. Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Plug your stuff.
What else do we do, Six?
Bottle Crow.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then we talk
and Jack,
to...
Jackie's Chow.
If I search Alan's name, the second result is from scamwarners.com. Just
well,
by the way.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the first one for me. Oh, this is that's me. Yeah, that's me.
Hello, dear friend. I am Mr. A staff in some development bank. We need to send you $15.2 million.
Wow. Wow. Great for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm plugging.
Where's my fucking search, whatever. You know, what's the thing where it's like your search optimization?
SEO, search engine optimization.
My SEO is out of control. It's so good. It's very strong.
That's what you get for having a cool name.
Idiot.
Red Sox Detmar. Yeah, it comes right up. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thank you all very, very much for listening to this episode of The Garnet Wager. Peace.
What a bad plug zone, though. Pete?
Can we do it again so Six has less to edit? Like, what do you...
I feel like Six, you got to have some more stuff to shut out. We just talked about Jackie's Chow. On a...
By the time this comes out, mm-hmm. which is tomorrow...
Yeah.
There will be a new Scanline Media podcast.
Oh shit!
You're pokey dudes.
It's called the Johto Quorum, and it is Alan and I going through every Pokemon and talking about whether or not they suck ass or not.
Wow.
It's a great podcast. I keep forgetting I'm on it, which is really perfect for like just being on a show. And you should listen to it because it's fun. It's going to be a great adventure.
All right. Well, until next time, I Google imaged my name and there's a bunch of fucking weirdos who also have the same last name as me. And it's creeping me out. Peace.
Sure.